This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
You're listening to Tech Talk and my name is Jeff Sandhu. It's the new thing in town. You may have spotted them recently zipping past you as you stroll through the KL city on foot. Electric scooters have made their way here in KL. And after some early experiences I've personally had in the US earlier this year, I was pleasantly surprised to see them here. But I do have my concerns and my worries, just like you, I'm pretty sure. And to help me understand these electric scooters better is...
Sure. My name is Christopher Hilton. I am the Vice President of Corporate Affairs at Beam Mobility.
And perhaps we got to start with who are you guys? Who is Beam?
Yeah, we are a shared micromobility company. What that means is that we put vehicles on the ground that people can share and drive themselves. So we're founded in Singapore a little under a year ago, operating right now in Singapore and Malaysia and Taiwan, Australia, New Zealand. So it had pretty exciting growth. Our first city was KL. What we think is that there are millions and millions of trips every day in APAC that could be serviced by a short distance transportation provider. And we're looking to be the provider that gives you that solution.
And how did you start at all this? Like, how was Beam founded?
Yeah, so our two co-founders had a vision that there was more to be done to help cities flow. Essentially, what that means is that as cities continue to grow and the density of urban areas continues to grow, there is a need to have transportation options outside of what's traditional. They saw an opportunity to provide short-distance trips, about 500 meters to 2 kilometers, mm-hmm. and give users another option for taking those journeys. You know, we talk a lot about the MRT walk. Is how many meters will you walk outside before you start thinking about a new mode of transport? And that sort of short distance was underserviced. Mm-hmm. So that opportunity to provide environmentally friendly, immediate and accessible transportation option was really exciting for us. And that's why the idea behind why Beam was founded.
And I guess, some would have had some experience of shared mobility services, bike sharing services that we've had before in previous year. But that didn't turn out to be so well. Now we see these bikes kind of scattered around and DBKL is having a tough time in trying to clear them up. How are you different and looking at what's happened before in Malaysia and how you're trying to change the future of these kind of services?
There are a couple of ways why we try to be different. I think you're completely right that these experience with shared bikes was not a positive one, and it's something we're conscious about as we move into the community. Electric scooters are a little bit different for a couple of reasons. The first is because they're electrified, there's an onus on the operator to interact with them more often. What that means is a shared bike can be on the ground for 72 hours, for 5 days, for 8 days, and is still a revenue generating opportunity. For us, as soon as that's out of power, we no longer can create a revenue around it. So there's an impetus on the operator to collect those bikes, to move them around, to put them in places where we know people are going to take them. I think the second and the important learning from the way some shared bike companies roll out is that there's an investment in community that needs to be made to ensure that not only the people who want to take the vehicles are excited and enthusiastic about riding them, but that the government and that other pedestrians and other members of the community understand why they're there, the responsibility that is going to be taken to how they're used and how they're moved around the city, and that there's a real partnership to grow this new transportation option.
Is there a partnership with DBKL?
Yeah, so we've been engaging with DBKL since about November of last year. The challenge with electric scooters specifically is that there is no framework whatsoever that exists in Malaysia. The MOT has classified them as a roadworthy vehicle, and what that is government speak is means that they're allowed to be ridden. But DBKL has to be cognizant of their footpaths, of where some of these vehicles will end their trips. So we're working with DBKL, and our interest is for DBKL to create a regulated system. We think transportation in general works well when all the players understand what the rules are. So we have engaged them and continue to engage about how to build framework that makes sense for e-scooters. We completely understand that DBKL has the responsibility to keep KL clean, to keep the streets in a way for pedestrians and others to use them. And we want to partner with them to ensure that that is done successfully.
And what about Singapore? From my understanding, Singapore is also going through this kind of same discussions with the MOT in Singapore and the regulators there. How has it been in Singapore? Is there any difference? Are they pushing the needle further ahead?
Yeah, so in Singapore, the experience with shared bikes, for example, was a bit more significant than in KL. You know, they had upwards of 150 to 200,000 bikes on the ground at one time. So they've created, in advance of companies being allowed to roll out their vehicles, a framework and a licensing application process. So we've put in an application for that process. We're pretty confident that we've put in a strong application, and that outcome should be in the next month or so. We're excited to operate in Singapore as well. And it shows that a framework can work and allow companies to be successful.
What's the difference, do you think, in Singapore and in Malaysia? You know, a lot of people Malaysians who've been to Singapore would say, oh, Singapore has, you know, a better pedestrian walk, you know, proper bicycle lanes and cycling lanes, and just road itself. It's, you know, the roads are a lot better than what we have here in Malaysia. And I'm sure Malaysia gives you a different kind of challenge because, you know, we don't have that kind of infrastructure in place, especially in certain areas in Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of our key considerations and one of the ways we see paths to success is to be local. And what that means is we don't just turn up and turn on, but we try to understand the environment where we're going to operate and make sure our vehicles fit that environment. So there certainly are areas in KL where electric scooters as we have them aren't going to be as successful and make a little less sense for operating. That being said, there's quite a few areas where, for example, adding into the transportation journey by getting you to the MRT station, having that distance between your home and where you would pick up the next form of your transportation ecosystem allows for e-scooters to be successful. In addition, there are times in this city that traffic is quite challenging, I guess is the word that I'll use. Any way we can provide an opportunity for someone to take a 2-kilometer car trip off the road is a positive thing. And I think allowing us to do that and allowing e-scooters to add to that will give just one more option for people to get out of cars and find different ways to move around the city.
And plus, you know, it's an electric scooter. So, you know, you're in a way saving the environment for the 2-kilometer ride.
Yeah, certainly. The environmental aspects are not insignificant. An electric scooter essentially is 300 times better than a car trip over the same journey. So that's a real positive option. The other one is that they're immediate. The challenge with hiring a taxi or a shared car service is that you have to wait for it to come to you and then move. When working properly, electric scooters will be immediate, outside of your front door, and you can step on that vehicle and go right away.
I've had some experiences, not with Beam in particular, but with other kind of brands when I was in the US. And, you know, in the US, it's a lot more mature, I guess, the electric scooter community. A lot of them are doing this. There's, I think, at least about 5 or 6 major players there. And it worked well for me as a tourist, traveling around, looking at the city from, you know, just having a scooter, because it feels like I'm walking. I'm going through, you know, urban areas and housing areas, using the scooter to get to my hotel, and I'm actually experiencing a lot of the culture and then just the feel of the city in a scooter than compared to if I was in a ride-hailing app. Is that one of the areas that you're looking at to try and attract more tourists to, you know, move around in the city and go to roads that, you know, generally a taxi would or a ride-hailing services would not use?
Well, I think tourists are definitely a part of the type of people we want to get on the vehicles. You know, the exciting thing about an e-scooter, or one of the many, I guess, is that you take trips on paths that you wouldn't normally go, different from how you would walk, different from how you would take a car, and it allows you to explore the city a little bit more. But even more than tourists, we talk about expanding your community. And what that means is you likely have a cafe or a restaurant or the closest MRT station that you use on a daily basis. With this vehicle, you can expand that circle and access a number of different, you know, small businesses and other opportunities that you wouldn't necessarily go to on a daily basis. So expanding that area of operation gives the individual who is going to use it almost every day more chances to do different things.
I'm speaking to Christopher Hilton, the VP Corporate Affairs at Beam Mobility, and we're taking a short break and we'll be right back. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Tech Talk, made possible by TM1.
And you're back with me, Jeff Sandhu, on Tech Talk. And my guest for today is Christopher Hilton. He's the VP Corporate Affairs at Beam Mobility. and we're talking about electric scooters. You may have seen them around in town, in downtown KL. And Chris, you recently raised $6.4 million in a seed fund. And globally, it looks like investors are very attracted to this space. In the US, almost $1 billion have been pumped into the electric scooters community. Why do you think this is such an attractive place for investments and venture capitalists?
You know, I think there's a couple things why it's an attractive space. You know, the first is that there is an underserviced market, which is always attractive for people who think there's an idea that will service that market. There are, like I've talked about, millions and millions of trips every day underserviced for this transportation sector. The second is the unit economics, I think, are really positive, especially when compared to shared bikes. You know, a shared bike trip in KL would have been about one ringgit, essentially. An e-scooter trip in KL will be between, you know, 4 and 7 ringgits, most likely. So on a per trip basis, the revenue economics are much stronger. You know, there is still lots of work to be done. This business model needs to continue to grow and need to continue to prove itself. But the interest from venture capital, the interest from consumers has been really high and shows that there is a possibility to do something here really successfully.
Would it be profitable? Because, you know, you talked about unit economics, like how much would these scooters cost, and there's maintenance, there's services, and also because these scooters need to last a certain number of trips. And, you know, I've looked in some reports in the US and some of these bikes only last for less than a month. And, you know, they have to go through servicing and replacements and just outright buy a new scooter. Yeah. How does that work, and how can you turn this into a profit?
You know, I think that's one of the really important parts to look at is the early studies about e-scooters specifically were mostly focused on vehicles that were created not for a sharing environment. So the really early companies in this business essentially took retail e-scooters and turned them into a sharing model. What we're seeing now is the hardware drastically improve, which will extend the life cycle of the scooter. You know, that's one of the key considerations is the longer that one vehicle is on the road, the easier it is to generate a positive revenue off that vehicle. And I think that advancements in that area will show that the revenue model makes sense. The second is we're still learning about how to do these operations properly. You know, this business, even the big giant global companies have only been around since about September in 2017. So there's constantly new ideas being fed into how the business can be successful. You know, we've recently piloted one that we've invented essentially, which is a preferred parking incentive. What that means is that we identify locations in cities, either be it with government bodies or, you know, businesses, where they'll put a Beam parking station in front of their location. And if a user ends their trip there, they get the next unlock fee free.
Right.
So what that means, it incentivizes users to park them properly, which is a positive. It also gives them a little bit of a kickback for their next ride, which is great, and keeps them on the vehicle. And it's a relationship, so there's footfall into the location where we put the parking spot. So coming up with new ideas like this, I think, is how you continue to refine the business model and make it more successful.
And also just kind of help the city look a little bit more cleaner and
neater. Right? The city amenity is at the top of mind when it comes to being successful in this business. You know, I think there is a pathway to doing that successfully. You know, I think it has to do with things like, you know, we've been operating in KL for a few months, but we haven't dumped thousands and thousands of vehicles on the ground. That's a short-term and a short-sighted way to try and run a business. We think this has to be long-term. You have to have relationships with the community and the government for it to be successful over time. And city amenity is really important to getting buy-in from all the different stakeholders.
How many scooters do you have at the moment in KL?
So in KL right now, we have about 250 on the ground, and that's going to continue to grow. We grow in a controlled manner. And what that means, you know, it's easy to say that out loud, but what that means is that we make sure that the demand is meeting the supply, and that as we get into new areas, we understand the new locations about how to operate properly there and effectively for the communities we're in.
And there are trackers placed on the scooters that you will be able to track and see how the movement, and you gather this kind of insights as well?
That's right. Every vehicle has an Internet of Things device attached to it that essentially sends a heartbeat of where it is at all times. In addition, when you're on the vehicle, it's paired to your smartphone, which sends the data location about that as well. So there's a really good amount of data that comes in about how they're being used and where the vehicles are.
And what do you use with this kind of data besides just, you know, having a sense of idea of where your scooters are and how you can expand your business? Like, do you also work with businesses that seems to be more frequently visited with these kind of scooters and stuff? Like, what do you do with the data beyond just for your own business?
Sure. So, I mean, two things. I think the data is really important to us, and we're very careful with how we collect and share our data. That sensitivity is important not only to us, but I think to our consumers. But we are absolutely going to analyze the data to see that wow, it looks like there's trips being started in a specific location every morning of every day. So to us, that says you need to put more vehicles in that location. Our team here in KL have also started a morning coffee run. Essentially, what that means is they're putting vehicles where they know people are taking trips from transit locations in to get their breakfast or their coffee and providing vehicles to be accessed there. That's all through understanding the data. Ultimately, I think we also want to look at how the data can help cities shape their infrastructure. An e-scooter ride is best when there's a segregated lane for bikes or scooters to be able to travel up and down the streets. Now, segregated bike lanes in Asia Pacific are still relatively a new idea. Growing towards cities that have more of these is a positive thing. One of the ways you convince legislators, one of the ways you convince governments to do this successfully is by giving them the data about how their people move around. So we want to share this data with appropriate authorities to try and build better infrastructure.
You're not the only one here in Malaysia. There's a few of them. There's a couple of them, if I'm not mistaken. So how do you set yourself apart? Because when I look at, you know, the business model and the strategy of executing them, it kind of feels the same in terms from the consumer's side, the amount that you pay. So how do you set yourself apart? Because it is a price war between, you know, other players as well. And it's only a matter of time before you have more than two competition.
Yeah, certainly. We believe this is going to be a really competitive business segment. And you're right in that the actual trip is relatively similar between most of the companies. Now, we try and do a couple of things. Number one, we think our vehicle is one of the best in the world. We've partnered with Segway Ninebot, who is the largest scooter maker in the world, and their vehicles are rugged and sturdy and provide a really good ride. You know, I think the second thing is how we interact with the community. It's very easy to have a cookie cutter format for how you enter into a city. We don't think that's going to be successful in the long run. So in KL, as an example, we've had a control rollout. We've had significant engagement with government to make sure it's understood. Our teams have worked really hard to build local partnerships with businesses and organizations who understand why we're there. And I think finally, we'd probably look at safety as being one of the differentiators. You know, things like our vehicles are speed capped. So what that means is we put a speed limit on how fast the e-scooter can go. When you're interacting with pedestrians, there's no need to go 35 kilometers an hour. So in KL, we've capped all our vehicles at a 20 kilometers an hour speed. Now, that's not a rule that's been instituted to us. It's because we looked at the operating environment where we are, and we decided this is what makes sense. A second point that's not safety essentially, but is insurance. There's no requirement to have insurance in KL, but we have a liability and a personal insurance for everyone who signs into the app and takes a scooter ride. So it gives our customers the peace of mind that they have some security in the event of something going wrong. Those are a couple of the points that we're trying to show that we really want to be here for the long term. We care about the person that steps on our scooter every day. And we think not every operator will be as responsible in doing it this way.
It's interesting that you mentioned, so the hardware comes from Segway Ninebot. And you know, I think a year ago or so, Tony Ho, who's the CEO of Ninebot, he came out and said that, you know, one of the things with the electric scooter standalone business model is kind of questionable, whether it's self-sustainable. He doesn't feel like this is going to be a business profit, and it's not going to turn into a proper, you know, ride-sharing app that what we see with ride-hailing services. Do you think that's going to change now that, you know, it's evolved a little bit? Like you mentioned, the hardware's changed.
So, I mean, I think, look, a year in the e-scooter business is eternity, right? It's not even 2 years old. So what someone said a year ago, I think has not no bearing, but less bearing onto where we are right now. It's true that the way to be successful in the business is going to be more than just what the hardware piece is can you build software that interacts well with the customers? Are you thinking about the types of people that want to get on the vehicles and how they move around? And are you being empathetic to the needs of the community? I think companies that do that well, and Beam's going to be one that tries to do that well every day, have an opportunity to be more successful in the long run.
Is there a number of rides that you kind of need per day, or and how long do these bikes need to last for you before you kind of think that, you know, this is actually making business sense?
Yeah, I mean, I think the most rides possible per day is what I'm going to say about that. You know, certainly we need to have more than one, right? All our operations are going to be going to making sure as many rides as possible on the vehicle for the longest term, and that the life cycle of that scooter is as long as possible. So both of those sort of metrics are critical to the long-term success and have to continue to grow in a positive way. I don't think there's one specific number because it's varied across the markets and it's varied across the price points with where we are. You know, in KL, there's going to be a higher price sensitivity than there would be in Australia, for example. So how we price the vehicle and where we put it is going to be a little bit different. I think we have some really smart people working on how to make sure that each community and each city has a product market fit that will make sense and grow the business over the long term.
So how much does it cost for a regular Malaysian to experience Beam?
So in Beam, it's in Malaysia, it's $2.50 ringgit to unlock the vehicle, and then 30 cents per minute.
And what's the reasoning for this pricing? For, you know, two ringgit and 50 cents to unlock, and then it's what?
30 cents a minute. We did sort of some price analysis about how it fits into an MRT ride versus a Grab ride versus a taxi ride and walking. And we think that's it's a comfortable spot to be. You know, the price is something that we're going to continue to look at and examine to make sure it makes sense. And, you know, there's different ways to get people on. In KL, for example, you get 5 ringgit free if your first time you sign up. So the first couple of rides that you're able to take are significantly discounted. I think we have to watch, and one of the challenges with shared bikes was an all-out price war will be challenging for this business. So we have to earn customers, respect and make sure that they want to stay on our platform long-term. And we do that by things, not just pricing, but by doing some of the things we've talked about throughout the interview.
And what some of the factors do you consider when you're moving into a new city? Like Malaysia is huge enough. You've got a lot of different urban hotspots, not just in KL, but in Penang, for example, Putrajaya, Cyberjaya. Mm-hmm. You've got a lot of those kind of areas. What kind of factors do you yourself consider before, you know, it makes economic sense to move into these areas?
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a few of them. You're right that KL makes a lot of sense, and there are certainly other cities in Malaysia that are going to make sense. You know, Putrajaya, JB, Penang, all of those, I think, are targets on the list for us as we grow. We look at a couple of things. Now, is there an infrastructure that makes sense for the vehicle that we're choosing? You know, can you ride it on the road? Is there a public transit setup that needs people to get to it? Are we able to feed into public transit? That's a positive thing. We don't see Beam as a substitution for a bus ride. No one's taking a Beam out to the airport. it's that we want to feed into the transportation ecosystem. So how developed that is also makes sense. I think we look at car ownership. What's the percentage of people that have cars or the people that are using other options to commute into the daily lives? I think finally is the population mix. You know, an exciting part about e-scooters, especially as it compares to shared bikes, is that the gender split for using them is almost 50-50. So in shared bikes, much more men were taking the trips for any number of reasons. But e-scooters, we found, is a 50-50 gender split, which opens up, the entire market to access. Mm.
What about maturity of the community itself? And how are you trying to help? Because for a lot of Malaysians, this is going to be something fairly new to them. Mm-hmm. How are you educating them in terms of using the scooters, the safety behind it, and best ways of using the scooters for you to not get into, unfortunate accident.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's two parts of that question. I think they're important. When we thought about KL as one of our first cities and moving in, lots of people said, oh, it's not going to work in KL. They're just going to get stolen. People are going to destroy them, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, there certainly were naysayers. What we found in the early months of operating here is that KL is no different than any city in terms of loss rates, in terms of vandalism. Of course, there are going to be vehicles that go missing. Of course, there are going to be people who are really negative towards the scooters and use them inappropriately. But what we've seen is that we're introducing a new idea here. And when you sign up to the Beam app, you have to go through sort of an education process that teaches you about safety, about how to park, about how to use the vehicle. And that uptake's been really positive. So we think that it'll continue to grow in that manner. When it comes to safety, you know, it sort of goes back to our entire regulatory conversation, is that a clear framework of rules for pedestrians, for cars, for scooter users about how and where these vehicles are supposed to be used makes sense in order to build sort of a long-term sustainable business. And that's why we continue to want to engage and have sort of a greater understanding and clarity in that perspective.
What's next for Beam, especially for the months to come and the years to come ahead? Is it electric scooters all the way?
No, I think, you know, electric scooters are the first vehicle that we've chosen to roll out. But we are focused on the APAC region. You know, some of the big contenders, sort of global contenders, will be all over the world, in Europe and the United States. We are focused just on this region, so we want to grow in APAC. You know, we're in North Asia, we're in Australia, we're in South Asia right now, and that will continue to move. What we'll look at as we grow is, are there different products that fit better into different cities? You look at Jakarta as an example. I think these vehicles will have even more of a challenge, smaller electric scooters in Jakarta than they would in KL. So is there a better product like a shared moped that makes sense there? What I think the guiding vision for how we're going to try and grow is how can we service that short distance transportation market in an affordable and clean way? And what can Beam do to bring more trips to people who need them? Mm.
Chris, it's been a pleasure, and I hope to see more of these Beam scooters around town, because I think it's a great fun. At the end of the day, it puts a smile on your face to travel around the city.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
And I've been speaking to Christopher Hilton. He's the VP Corporate Affairs at Beam Mobility, talking about the electric scooters. And if you're one of them using this to move around or keen to try them out, always remember to be safe and ride by rules. My name is Jeff Sandhu, and this has been Tech Talk. And if you missed any parts of the show, you can download the podcast. It's available now on the BFM website, the BFM app, or on Spotify. You've been listening to Tech Talk on BFM 89.9. And now it's time for your TM1 Tech Minute. The term last mile generally refers to the final part of a network that delivers a service to a customer's home. Originating in the telecommunications industry, it now includes transportation planning and supply chain management. For business and consumers alike, the last mile can be the most costly part of a service or a journey. For a consumer, sitting on a bus or LRT, ordering a car to meet you at the station, or a pizza to greet you at the front door may seem like magic. But behind that magic lie thousands of overlapping service requests coordinated to one end, to best serve a single consumer. You. Complex solutions with simple outcomes, made possible by TM1's hyper-connected ecosystem. And that was your TM1 Tech Minute.
Tech Talk, made possible by TM1. To learn more, visit tm1.com.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.